Hey, everybody, this is Joseph Williams, and you're listening to the Rock Solid Podcast.
Make me a deal and make it good for me. I won't get full of myself, I can't afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis, and joining me today in the Zoom room, you know these guys best as members of Toto. We've got a returning guest, Steve Lukather. He's a founding member, lead guitarist, and singer for Toto. And then the next guy, Joseph Williams, he's the current and longtime singer for Toto. These guys are here today because they have brand new solo albums coming out in a couple weeks. Very unique release, and we're going to talk about it in a minute. And please welcome Joseph Williams and Steve Lukather. Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey.
Great. Good to see you.
So you guys just mentioned that you guys are actually in the Zoom room together because you guys have a very small pod of people that you guys are staying in touch with physically and mentally.
We're working quite a bit together, and we have been, you know, on this project and also preparing for what's to come for Toto's. That, and also I'm so close that we have a regular test we do every single week.
Yeah, excellent. We do our test together.
As Luke says, he's got an autistic kid. He's got young kids, basically. Yeah. And also my daughter, who just had a baby, her rule is that if you even want to come over and see him, you have to you have to have a negative test. So.
Right. And I wanted to.
LA is not in good shape right now.
LA is not. And that's where I'm at. I mean, I live in Woodland Hills, so I'm right there with you. Yeah, it's not good right now. Joe, congratulations. You're a grandfather now.
Yay, Joe.
And is this the first grandchild?
This is my first grandchild, yes.
Does this make this makes your dad, John Williams, a great grandfather?
It does. He's always been a great father and a great grandfather, so now he's a
great great grandfather.
It's amazing to he must be amazed by this.
Yeah, he thinks it's just great.
No. It's just, yeah. It's like, what did he say at 88 years old?
Yeah. No, he's thrilled.
Cool. That's excellent. So congratulations on that. Also, Steve Lukather, congratulations, because your son Trev has a new band out, and you got to be...
Lamara, yeah.
And you got to be tickled that he's followed in his dad's footsteps, or maybe not.
No, I'm very tickled. I mean, he's a go-getter. He's producing another artist right now as we speak. He's all in. He's the only one of my kids so far out of four that has followed the path.
Yeah. You know? But
he always wanted it, man. And he worked really hard.
And he's
worked really hard the last 20 years to get it. LaVara is a great band. Check them out. LaVara, check them out.
LaVara, check it out. They had Steve Perry on one of their new singles.
Yeah, Steve. I can see, Steve looks down my backyard.
Now, did you have to call in a favor, or did Trev work that Steve Perry happening?
I don't have a relationship with Steve Perry, actually.
So
we're friends. I mean, hi, Steve. Yeah. How are you? Great, one of the greatest singers of all time.
Yeah.
But I don't relate. Trevor and him are friends.
Oh, cool.
It's outside of me. It has nothing to do with me.
I was just curious, but that's cool. And I have to, for the people listening, you are wearing a Ringo Starr t-shirt, and Ringo Starr plays into these albums a little bit.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, he's
Luke's other band.
Yeah, that's right. You're one of the all-stars, Luke.
I am an all-star. Yes, I'm honored to say that I am.
I think I heard you.
You're a friend of mine. I can't believe I can say that in seriousness and without going kidding.
Yeah,
you're a friend of mine.
I think I read a quote from you once that you said Ringo Starr's your newest best friend.
Last best friend.
He wrote to me, "You're my last best friend."
Oh, that's nice.
And I've cherished it, and it's a thing we have, a little joke thing. And
So here's a question.
The Beatles are the reason why I play music, and to be close friends with one of the guys that sparked my whole life. It's I don't even know how to explain it. It's surreal. Was the easiest throwaway word I got.
And this is for Joe too. How do you guys, do you ever not walk into the room and see Ringo? I know he's your friend, but in your head, not think that's a Beatle.
Well, I know you do. I know Luke does, but they've been so close,
yeah,
you know, for the last, you know, almost 10 years that, you know, it's like a friendship. I mean, I was asked and, you know, to go up and with Luke, and he took me up to his house.
Yeah, when we wrote a song for Ringo's new album.
To do a little work. And I walked in like, you
know, right. Of course.
But he's, you know, he's gotten real close to him, and Ringo doesn't disappoint. He's just hysterical. It's like being in the room between takes on Hard Day's Night. He's exactly the same guy.
He's the same man. I mean, he's 80 years old, and I mean, I feel like a kid around him.
That's great.
I mean, he's, because he brings that. I mean, he lives. He's the real thing, man.
That's great to hear.
There's nothing fake about Ringo Starr.
Yeah.
He's the real thing, real man.
I love it.
I love the man. I mean, yes, he's the Beatles. Yes, the Beatles are the greatest band ever of all time. Sorry, I'm going to say it out loud.
That's okay. Everyone knows it. Everyone knows it. All right. These two albums, they're like, how do you describe these? The album covers are, they're companion albums. The album covers are the same, except Joe's picture's on one. Steve, you're on the other.
We both had the same idea for the cover.
That can't be true.
And then the woman,
they're like mug shots.
So,
we kind of did it on purpose.
No, we did it on purpose. I mean, when we set out to make out these albums, we finished working in 2019 touring, and Luke had already planned to go in the studio and make his solo album completely independent of mine and on his own in that period of time. And I was doing the same, finishing up what I had started.
Yeah.
In a couple of years previous, you know, in 2020. And then when we started talking about what the future would look like for Toto as a touring entity, mm. we started listening to both of our projects. And then Luke introduced me to Mascot Label Group, who was distributing these albums. And then the whole concept of putting them together just sort of made sense. And if we do, once we get back on tour as Toto, it gives us some new material to bring to the table.
It really puts a new spice in the rack. You know, we had the fresh, you know, we knew it was going to end. We knew it was ending in 2019. That was it.
You knew Toto
we didn't know what was going to happen after that. We all kind of went our separate ways. Joe and I knew we were going to work together because we're road dogs.
Right.
So I mean, the other guys, some guys just either couldn't do it medically.
Mm-hmm.
David can't medically tour anymore. He just can't do it. Nor should, and he doesn't have to. And so he's like, you know, guys, go play the music.
Right.
And the other guys still wanted to work. Some of the guys left the planet, you know? I mean, sadly, and I cry every day, but, and that's not a joke. It's not a joke.
Yeah.
It's the rest of it is just like, you know, there's been the music is total. So we're just keeping the music alive. There's been 15 incarnations. This is a new incarnation. We didn't plan it this way. It just sort of happened organically. Joe's record, my record. Why don't we play together, do Toto songs, and expand, get some other guys, because we have to pay percentages of the name to the people and all this stuff. We had to reconfigure the whole situation. And we've had a year to sit around and think about it. And that's what we've been doing. And we put together a new band and see if we could do it in 10 days. And we did. And see if we could do it, see if we shake it up. I mean, we're sitting up here, and I mean, the whole world's been, you know, locked down for a year.
Right.
Going, what the hell's going on? You know, so you have a lot of time to think. And being that Joe and I are bros.
Anyway, yeah, and the two albums, in any case, are just our companion pieces. They're completely different than each other.
Totally.
Now,
but when you put them together, just the difference makes them kind of interesting to have both of them. And since, you know, he's on mine and I'm singing on his and everything, that there's some continuity there. And it gives us some material to bring on tour as new material.
I mean, we're both solo artists as well. He's got 10 solo albums. I got 10 solo albums. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We can add some new spice to the set.
Well, that was my question. I was going to ask
play the hits, play the deep cuts, jam, play some new music from Joe and me. Toto making new music. I mean, what is Toto? I mean, what is David Page is still here? I mean, He still wants to. He can't tour, but he might want to write something. Yeah, who knows what's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen.
Sure. I always thought that Toto, the band Toto, was always in flux, always ever changing. There's always, like you said, people in and out.
Except for me, yeah.
Yeah, and I believe, and no disrespect to Joseph, but I feel like if Steve Lukather wasn't on stage with Toto, then for me, it's not Toto. We need you.
And by the way, I feel exactly the same way.
Yes, I know.
The way I look at it.
Well, a lot of people think David Page on stage. I mean, everybody has their favorites. I mean, Jeff Porcaro, we could say arguably.
Absolutely, But we need one of you. We need one of the originals.
But you are correct, because Luke is the one guy that's been there from the very beginning and is still there, and he's the through line through the whole thing.
Exactly. Perfect way to put it, Joseph.
People recognize him. People know his personality. He is the front man of the band. The lead singer spot has always been like a sort of a supportive kind of a thing, always.
Yeah.
Because listen to the records. First of all, everybody's singing and doing lead vocals.
Absolutely.
From the very beginning. And also the way the albums are produced, it's a kind of a Herculean task to pull that shit off live.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, so if you're really like looking at the one guy who would be the front man, you're absolutely correct. It's him.
Yeah.
And my being with him now and for the last 10 years and continuing to do stuff in the future, just, I think it brings a little bit of continuity to it, because
absolutely
know my voice and, you know, it's not like we're starting again with a whole new singer. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I agree. And I'm so glad that you guys are going to continue taking Toto music out there and incorporating these new albums into it, because these albums are really great. Steve, you have 8 songs on your album. Joe, you have 12 songs on your album. I found something very unique about these two albums, and I don't know if you guys did this on purpose or if this is a fluke thing. Both of these albums are 50 minutes and 18 seconds long.
No shit.
I'm not even bullshitting you. And when I saw this, I'm not. And I thought,
that is fantastic.
That's funny.
That's fantastic. Really, the movie could never have planned that.
I was like, I don't know. I thought, hand to God. I swear to God.
That's deep.
It blew me away. It blew me away.
I'm a little verklempt right now. I gotta
give me a moment. I have all the songs in my iTunes. I highlighted yours, Luke, and 50 minutes and 18 seconds. I highlighted Joe's 50 minutes and 18 seconds. And I was like, this
that
is some
is
type
a
of
long fuck. Well, yeah. Make sure your Mac didn't crash or something.
No, it's so for me that brings these albums
if
even
your
more.
Pool man, wait a second. If your pool man gives you an enema, something's wrong.
I'm not going to let that happen. let me ask you something. The two album covers for me, I haven't seen anything like that since this. Are you expecting litigation from Gene Simmons?
No.
Okay. I think not. I think the only litigation would be whoever invented the wanted poster.
Right.
Probably closer to it.
True.
I love Gene Simmons.
No, I know. I know.
Yeah, me too. Actually, the one I thought it was brilliant. I remember when the Kiss guys did those.
Yeah, the solo albums. Yeah.
I played on Peter Criss's solo.
Yes, you do.
And Gene and Paul, they've all been very, really nice people.
So
I produced Cher and cut one of Gene's songs, and he really dug what I did, and we became friendly.
Cool.
He's a really nice man.
I'm not disparaging Gene. I'm a Kiss fan. Kid. But yeah. That when I saw your two album covers, the first thing I thought of was way back to 78, the Kiss album covers, because that kind of a thing.
It wasn't intentional, but it might as well be an homage. And those guys, because we're fans.
You know, no, we never bought that. No, Joe and I, it was kind of a wink, wink, and Joe and I did to ourselves. Just, and that's when the whole thing, we'll put them together, make a companion piece. Then we started to riff on that, and then it became a thing. You know, we put it all together.
And I love it. These are going to be available on CD, on vinyl. There's even a 4-disc vinyl set where you get both albums all together. So
high fines though.
Yeah, pretty cool. So you guys both did some cover songs on your albums. Joe, you did Don't Give Up by Peter Gabriel, and you have a special co-lead vocalist. You want to tell us about this?
Yeah, no, Don't Give Up, obviously one of my favorite songs, and I love that video with Kate Bush and that performance and everything. So once I got to the point where it was clear with the track that I might as well finish this thing and it might sound good, that I thought, who could possibly could I have to sing that part that's, you know, critical to the song? And it occurred to me that the lyric could also work as a father-daughter conversation.
Absolutely.
So, and my daughter is as easy a vocalist to work with in the studio. She's a pro's pro. I didn't have to tune any of her stuff. She's got this great angelic quality to her voice. And I just thought it worked well.
In this proud land, we grew up strong. We were wanted all along. I was taught to fight, taught to win. I never thought I could fail. No fight left, or so it seems. I'm a man whose dreams have all deserted. I've changed my face, I've changed my name, but no one wants you when you lose. Don't give up, 'cause you have.
It did, and that song has always made me cry. So as soon as I saw that you were singing it with your daughter, because I'm a father and I have a daughter, I was just like, oh no, this is going to kill me. And it did. So congratulations. And thanks. Stepping into Kate Bush's shoes is not easy. And your daughter's name, tell everyone your daughter's name.
My daughter's name is Hannah. Hannah Ruick is her middle name. She uses kind of as a last name. But she just had a baby. She's the mother of my brand new grandson.
Grandpa Joe. So
it's been a very exciting time for Hannah too, who studies psychology. So like she's the smart one in the family. She looks around at the business and everything and goes, you know, you guys need someone to talk to, not someone to sing.
You know? You need people like me.
Exactly. So my daughter is really a remarkable woman. She really, really is. And it was a joy and a gift to be able to have her on the project.
Now, how do you, as a dad, when you're singing there with your daughter, how are you not breaking down crying?
Well, because we, you know, I've worked with her so long in the studio. She's a professional. So
okay.
When we're doing the work, it's just as like if I'm working with Luke in the studio. She's doing some takes, and you know, it's like we're doing a professional
recording.
After I had it all on tape and I was listening back to it and working on everything, believe me, I was bawling.
Okay, good. Yeah. Well, you achieved what you set out to do then. It's fantastic. Now, Luke,
music's supposed to touch the soul, man. You know, that's, people forget it. They think of music as like background noise for multitasking. It's like, you know, music is like, we used to, remember when you were kids, you used to sit between the speakers and lose yourself in it?
Yep, look at the album covers, open up the vinyl.
Where they're magically making this music and all that. That's gone. Everything's just like, it's like plastic.
I hope it's not gone because you guys are still killing it.
We're trying to keep it alive. I mean, in our own way.
Yeah.
There's great music out there. I'm not saying that.
In my opinion, it's not gone at all. It's just, you know, you have to dig a little deeper to find some of those things that are like what we do.
Absolutely.
Like, the album was, you know, performed by a band. You know, every song you hear is basically a whole take.
It's a performance.
So, yeah. You know, those kinds of records are not as common anymore, but they're out there.
They're out there. There's a lot of great young musicians. I'm not bagging on anybody. I'm just saying like, okay.
But I enjoyed, again, I love the album experience. So I enjoyed listening to these two records from start to finish. I didn't jump around to tracks. I started at track one and went the whole way through on both of these. And they're great. That's the way I like to listen to music still, but I'm older. I'm old school too.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You tended to be listened to that way.
Right. Now, Steve, you...
Go ahead.
Steve, you do a couple of covers where you're paying tribute, I would imagine, to some of your favorite guitarists. You do a Joe Walsh song called Welcome to the Club.
According to the symptoms, it isn't all you got. A shame they have found a cure. She didn't know the reason to stop to feel the rub. You know it isn't easy. Well, welcome to the club.
And you do Bridge of Sighs by Robin Trower. Why those two specific songs?
Well, Joe's a hero, a friend of mine. But I mean, Joe's not only his guitar playing, but his songwriting, his production, the way he made records. From the early days of the James Gang, your album, from 1969, through his Barnstorm years, through the solo years, the Eagles years, his playing, he's just hit my heart, man. He just hits my heart. And now he's a friend, and I love him dearly. And I want to pay an homage. And Robin Trower doesn't get enough love.
No, Robin Trower does not get enough love.
Yeah, he doesn't get enough love, and he should, and he's a sweet man. I love the song, and it allowed me to do my inner Robin, Jimmy. You know, it just allows you to go dabble in areas that it's just a wonderful song to be able to stretch out as a guitar player. And I wasn't trying to do anybody. I was just trying to be influenced by what was happening in the room at the time. And then, and with the great players, like you said, like Joe says, you just get guys in a room and they play and listen and you get inspired.
Mm-hmm. And then the other cover you do is Traffic's The Low Spark of High Heeled Boys. And your version is, it's tremendous. I loved it.
Star and it's shooting up out of the ground, and your head is spinning from a loud guitar.
I love Steve Winwood. I wish I had his voice.
Yeah,
you're my God, Steve Winwood, one of the greatest of all time. Yeah. I mean, I've never one of the few guys I never got a chance to work with, man.
He's still with us. He's still here.
Oh, he didn't need me. He plays guitar and keyboard and things like that. What does he need me for? What can he do? He's a one-man band. I'm a huge fan. I met him once, and I'm like fanboyed out. I was like, oh, it's me.
I love that you have like 8,000 studio credits, but not one with Steve Winwood yet. You're still looking for these guys to play with. That's exciting.
Yeah, I just always just wanted to maybe play in a band, play behind him or something. You know, I'm not worthy.
Let me tell the titles of these albums. Steve, your album is "I Found the Sun Again."
I was sure that I was done. I thought that I might be alone forever. Almost fell apart, but then I felt you pulling me together.
Tell me about that title.
I fell in love, man. And believe it or not, I found a woman that couldn't handle me. and untamed me, I should say. And I fell in love again. And then everything changed. And then it was right before the lockdown. And I was able to, she inspired the whole record, really. I mean, she inspired me to do it. And I got great help from Joe and from Stan Lynch and from Jeff Babko and Paige and, you know, people that I stretch out with and write with.
So
everybody came to the party knowing where I was at and where I was going. And that's, I found an inspiration.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? That's I found, and having this time off to be home and reflect.
Now, are you guys, now there are some good things about being home for this long. This is probably the most time you guys have spent with your families at any for a long time because of the touring.
Oh yeah, that's very true. And that's, and listen, that's a weird benefit.
Yeah.
You know, but that's true. We've as for us people who tour, you know, most at this time of year or, you know, in a few weeks or whatever, we would normally be gone and
right.
be gone for huge portions of the year. So, yeah, especially for me because I was able to be here during my daughter's whole pregnancy. Which was yeah. you know, very cool. And also, you know, since the baby's been born, I've been over there every day and, you know, like, you know, really bonded with this kid. That might not have been possible if things were normal.
Yeah.
I wish they were, but, you know, yes, there was the added benefit of getting some great family time in.
Mm-hmm. Joe, the title of your album is Denizen Tenant?
Yep.
I didn't even look up what that might mean because I wanted to hear it from you.
Well, first of all, it's a redundancy. Both words basically mean the same thing.
Okay.
In slightly different ways. We are a denizens of the United States. We are occupants of the United States, and we are also tenants of our houses and where we live. And so a denizen tenant is like the guy that comes to your house and just makes himself at home, and eventually you got to go, dude, it's time to split. That's a denizen tenant. And if you listen to the lyric, it's kind of, it's a very, very tongue in cheek and witty, you know, the guy I wrote it with wrote those words, and he's got this very acerbic kind of wit. And it's a breakup song, basically. It's a horrible roommate situation.
Gotcha.
So that's the meaning. And my other favorite meaning that I saw in a dictionary for the word denizen is a cat that wanders in from the alley or whatever into your house and makes it its home. That's a a denizen is a cat like that. So I dug that analogy.
So I'm kind of
I dig all cats like that, man.
I'm finding ways to hook these albums together again. Steve, his is written by a new roommate that he loves, and your album title is about a bad roommate situation.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
A bad roommate situation of another guy.
Well, yeah. Not a love interest for you guys. I got it.
We've been plotting this since we were kids. We had it all written down. Exactly. Ouija board
My roommate is a cat.
Steve, on your album, I guess if there's a single, I guess it would be Run to Me.
Well, that was written for Ringo's birthday, his 80th birthday.
And that features Ringo and Joseph.
Yeah, well, Joseph co-wrote it with David Page, myself, and Joe wrote it for Ringo's 80th birthday.
Okay.
It used to be a video thing for his birthday. He dug the tune, he wanted to play on it, so we filmed him doing it, and it was supposed to be for his birthday party, but it didn't get shown properly. Right. So
it's out there now on YouTube.
I said, was it okay if I put it on my record? He's like, yeah, I love the song. And he was in the video, and we filmed it, and we put it together. It was a fun little summer thing. It was out in July. It's not like the rest of the record.
It
shows a side of me that we love, the side of us that we love, mm-hmm. the Beatles. And it was written specifically to hit that 60s Beatle-y, Tom Petty-ish, ELO, Jeff Lynne thing, you know. And just as a nod and a wink and a we love you, you know.
Yeah, of the 20 total songs on these two albums, that's the most poppy, if I could say that.
It was meant to be.
Yeah, and it's fun. It's just fun. Yeah.
I just added on. It's just another, Swiss Army knife. It's another tool in the Swiss Army knife.
Right.
That's a good analogy for Toto. Toto is a Swiss Army knife.
It's a Swiss Army knife, man. What do you need? We got it.
With 20 different blades.
Yeah, that's it. And you can use the sun to start a fire.
That is true with Toto. You get like a hit song, and then you might think, or people not in the know might think, oh, the whole album's going to be like that. But then you get everything with Toto. Everything. I'm always
we just want to stretch out, man. They gave the keys to the Ferrari to a bunch of teenagers and said, go ahead, and here's all the money. Yeah. Go do what you want to do. And that's what we did.
For better or worse.
Great. I mean, I don't think it would happen today.
Yeah.
It's a freakish thing.
For better or for worse, I believe Toto, it might be one of the most misunderstood bands.
And the only reason they're misunderstood is because people somehow don't think that trained musicians in a rock band format can be artists.
Right.
That's the thing.
That's the thing.
And that's just not fucking true. It just so happens that some of the best songwriters and some of the best players, and sounding singers and stuff, in that band happen to be trained musicians whose backgrounds are in studio work.
Yeah.
That somehow pisses people off. It's like, you know, guys like that shouldn't have a band with a hit song. You know what I mean?
We don't deserve it, or they gave it to us because of it.
Or that, or it's just, you're not an artist. You guys are just a bunch of music. That's why all the songs sound different.
They actually think that everything we play on everybody's records is written out note for note. Like, all we did was read the notes, and that's not true.
No, you guys worked it out in the studio.
Campuses with chord changes on it, and we came up with all these little hooky parts on the spot every day, every fucking 3 hours.
But that's why I think, you know, history will be kinder to Toto than critics were in the early days of Toto, because, you know, at the end of the day, like Luke said, it's about the music. Toto is really about the music, and other than that, it's about virtuoso musicians and great singers. You know what I mean? That's what it is, which is why, of course, the first setup of the band will always be the band when they started. But as people have passed away and can't tour anymore and stuff, other musicians that are friends of ours who are equally...
It's a family. It's just the family got bigger and bigger and bigger.
Guys who are equally as talented and work in the studio and all of that stuff, those are the guys who come and play in this band. And that's the Swiss Army knife factor. So it's about this virtuoso musicianship more than it is about like a cast that you see every bloody single time just singing the hits over and over again and nothing else.
Right.
You know,
and now with our solo stuff, we can spice it up with the solo stuff. You know?
Absolutely.
That's why we decided to do another version of it. And there's already been 15 versions, like we said before.
So, and I think that people, you know, once we're all dead and gone, people will look back and appreciate, because of the body of work, the musicianship over the fact that we weren't the typical artists.
We never cared about if anybody needed a stylist and a look and a whole thing, we did. But see, we thought, because the music of the 70s, if you looked good, that was a plus, but it didn't matter.
Right.
I love Mountain. They weren't the prettiest band in the world, but they were a fucking great band.
Yeah.
You know, God bless Leslie West, you know. You know, and all of Felix Pappalardi and all the rest of them, you know, it's just, but it just, the rules change, you know.
Yeah.
With Beatles, everything that happened, just the way we grew up and everything. Well, we thought, and then Steely Dan became our favorite band because Jeff Porcaro was playing Steely Dan when we were in high school.
One thing that's always funny to me, if you look at the album covers, pictures of the band Toto, you know, over the years, like from the first album on and stuff, what is clear that you can see over the years is that money was made so that better clothes could be purchased for those pictures. As the years go on, you know, the first couple of pictures look very schlubby.
There was a lot of years I tried way too hard. I was trying way too hard. Did. You know, the fucking hair was
the hair was gigantic.
This is what it looks like. Yeah, I paint the fucking hair. Yes, I do. But I mean, the hair is real.
Look, you still got the hair. That's all that matters.
No, I mean, I'm just saying, like, people think I tease my hair. I wear a wig or something like that.
That's how your hair is.
Look at me. Do you think I care what I look like at this point?
Let the music do the talking.
Yeah.
All right. I want to ask Joseph about this song called The Dream. Tell me about this song. I love this song. I was trying to figure out, some of the lyrics felt like they could have been written during, I got to pull them up, could have been written during the COVID lockdown. There's a lyric about wearing a mask, but maybe that's a mask that you hide behind.
No. The song was the last song I wrote for the album.
Okay.
And it was and I wrote it and produced it and recorded it like in the last month of the production of the entire project.
Okay.
And that's exactly what it was. It was just a fresh song about how I was feeling about every fucking thing that was going on. And in you know, that's what the lyric is. And it talks about, like, remember when we were kids, remember when they told us we were going to fly in cars and everything. And now, you know, technology, what have we used it for? We've used it for phones and, you know what I mean? Yeah. Personal items for ourselves, as opposed to things that could have enriched the society, that kind of stuff.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
That's the message in there, but trying to do it in a humorous way.
You did, because it didn't feel preachy. It didn't feel like you're trying to hit me over the head with something, with a message. It just kind of flows. And I really had to pull out the lyric sheet and you know, really get into it and try to figure out what you were exactly trying to tell me. So that's definitely, I wanted to hear from you.
Nailed it. I mean, I think what you thought it might be about was exactly right.
Okay, cool, cool. And then another cover on your album, you do a Beatles cover with Steve.
If I fell in love with you, would you promise to be true and help me understand? 'Cause I've been in love before, and I found that love was more than just holding hands. If I
So I mean, how do you tackle a Beatles cover and try to make it fresh?
Well, by just not doing that. I don't think about, oh my God, I'm going to do a Beatles song and how am I going to make it fresh and different? That's not how my mind works. I was literally taking a break and I was listening to one of my favorite Beatles songs and turned around over to the computer and the keyboard, and started putting down like my version of it if I were doing it on the keyboard. And then I got to a point where I had a little rhythm going, and then my studio set up for vocals. So I just literally turned around and started banging out a bunch of vocals on it just for fun.
Yeah.
Then I got to a point where I thought, this could be fucking cool. Put Lenny on it. It'll be really, really cool. And then I thought, get Luke to be John and, you know, sing the John part of the two Beatles. And it might be a cool thing. That's literally how it happened.
And when you say Lenny, that's Lenny Castro.
Yeah, exactly. And the choice was, instead of like the Beatle record, which is Ringo actually playing the kit, that this is a percussion version.
Yeah, it's very cool. And I do like your voices together. They really are, simpatico.
We've been brothers since we were teenagers, man. You know, I mean, this, you know, we've been through the roller coaster ride of life and careers together. But in this last year, we've really solidified our brothership. In a big way.
Another unforeseen benefit of having to, you know, be cloistered up like this because of the virus. We were able to get a lot of really great work done.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys are used to being on top of each other, though, touring, right? Are you guys in the same tour bus still when you guys tour? How's it work with Toto?
That's exactly how it works. And his bunk is usually right across the little hallway from mine.
He's very well acquainted with the smell of my farts.
You don't disappoint, Steve Lukather. Okay, so
I wasn't making a joke.
Oh, okay. No. Go ahead, Joe.
I was just going to say there is truth in it, but after the
You're in a submarine, man. Yeah. What can I tell you? Yeah.
So when did you guys meet? How old were you and where and when? Do you guys remember?
I don't remember the exact place and stuff, but I think to my memory, I met you at your school, seeing you guys play.
Oh, at Grand High School.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because at that time I was going to a school called Oakwood.
And
my sister and brother had a band because they were in the older grades, and my sister was the singer, and they did Linda Ronstadt stuff and Eagles and all that kind of stuff. And my sister got sick, and the only person that could replace her was me.
Okay.
I was only about 14 years old. So I used to sing in that band singing Linda Ronstadt songs and stuff for my sister. And so we used to go and check out other bands around town because we would play high schools.
Gotcha.
And that I remember going to Grant and seeing you play there. And I think you played at Oakwood.
Yeah, I played at Oakwood too.
So I was about 14. I
was in a band with his brother Mark and Mike Landau and John Pierce. When we were kids, John Pierce was my first friend in life. Our parents were our moms were pregnant at the same time.
And Mike,
now he's joined Toto now.
And Mike Landau plays on Joe's album.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like he said, Landau.
I've known Mike since I was 12.
And so have we. That's the weird thing is that our family and Mike and his mom, we've known them since he was that age too, when he was a real little kid. And so one of my bands that I had when I was about 17, 18 years old was a band with my brother on drums and Landau playing guitar. And I called it Joe Air. And so he's always sort of been a part of the fabric.
He's always part of the family.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we've all been working together, session players, traded gigs, worked on the same,
The original idea for my album was that I was going to make a Joe Air album. I was going to make an album of that exact band.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? But it morphed into what the album is. But that's why Mike's presence is so prevalent, because he was instrumental in developing a bunch of these tunes too. A lot of his parts, helped me to finish some of these things. That's how both these guys are like that.
Well, Mike's
they write their own parts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Well, Mike is one of the greatest guitar players in the world of all time. I mean, I grew up with him. I know what he's capable of. He's just constantly amazing. It was always me. He was a great kick in the ass. I mean, it was healthy competition. We were best friends.
Yeah.
So we always played together. Mm-hmm. We were like the dueling guitar guys. Mm-hmm. Like we used to do a Mob Vishnu bit where we're like, we played each other. I don't know how we did this, but we played in octaves, but I put my hand on a low octave and picked his guitar. We just did this weird thing where we were playing all this shit like one person. Two bodies and it blew people's minds, and it was really pretty funny.
So
it looked ridiculous, but we did it anyway.
The more I talk with guitarists, it always seems like there wasn't. It's not a competition. It was more like you guys would learn from each other. Oh, Steve does this. How's he do that? Or Mike does that. Well, how could I try to do that? Is that how it was?
It was all kinds of ways. Upside down, every way. Mike has huge ears. He's always been able to.
They both do. That's the thing that separates Luke and Mike Landau from other people, in my opinion, is that they also, with their instruments, are incredible arrangers. You know what I mean? I get them in the studio. The reason I like to work with both of them is because I can play them a verse idea for a song, and they will immediately come up with a part on the guitar that I didn't think of, that accompanies and makes the groove much, much better. That's arrangement work. It's not just like being a guitar player. And those two, Mike and Luke, are the best at that.
And as a studio musician, you are doing a lot more arranging work than people might realize, correct?
Well, making records, yes. Yeah. If you're doing television and film, it's all written out.
Yeah.
Note for note. But if you're not...
For example, all of the earlier records, the Michael Jackson stuff that Luke played, all that stuff, he's writing the parts.
Yeah, Quincy didn't write my part for Human Nature. I did. He said, you got to make this funky for me, man. I got to get this, it's too poppy. So I came up with that part on the spot.
So
done.
So why don't you guys get songwriting credits when you come up?
By today's standards, you would. But back then... it was arguably arrangement, So I got an arrangement credit on that song. So then Quincy was nice enough to give me that,
But yeah, I always feel like you guys are doing more heavy lifting than you get, written credit for.
Yes, that's absolutely true.
Here's part of it is that also the culture has changed in music and the way songwriters work and think of who's a writer on this and who's a writer on that. In the old days, a song is made up of two elements. It's made up of the music melody, basically, mm-hmm. and the words, if you're talking about a popular song, those two things. Whatever comes in the production, you know what I mean? Even if it's ideas from some of the other musicians, at least in the old days, is considered part of the arrangement.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And not part of the writing.
That's why we didn't get paid for all those hooky parts we came up with on all the songs.
Exactly.
But back then you were happy to be on those records and happy to get paid your session fee because you made it. People were calling you up.
Some of the greatest times of my life. Yeah. Man, you feel me?
It's also, his job. I mean, we were studio musicians.
Yeah.
So that was my job.
You get a call. It's like, okay, you got to work.
But, I got to work with some of the greatest artists in the world, the geniuses. I mean, I was in the room of geniuses. So that's humbling.
It doesn't, it doesn't feel like work, probably. It is, but yeah, there's so much fun.
I hate to cut you short, man. We got another interview we got to do.
All right, let's wrap it up real quick. Let me promote for you guys.
I'm sorry.
No, it's cool. I enjoy talking to you guys. I could do it all day. So, first of all, on Twitter, you are at Steve Lukather. Yeah. And Joe, you are at Dash L Row, R-O-W, DASHLROW. Go to TotoOfficial.com for everything about upcoming tours. What is it called? What are you guys billing it? The Dogs of Oz? Is that what it is?
Toto, the Dogs of Oz tour.
I mean, the Dogs of Oz are the two of us because we're the last dogs.
Right.
Last dogs left.
Standing there drooling. But it's Toto. Foaming. It's Toto and it's the Dogs of Oz tour.
All right. And these albums are coming out on February 26th through the Players Club / Mascot Label Group. You can pre-order them everywhere. We got I Found the Sun Again by Steve Lukather, and we got Denizen Tenant by Joseph Williams. And these albums are both 50 minutes and 18 seconds long, both of them.
That's really
it. Don't forget it. You guys go check that out. Thanks so much, bro. Guys. Thanks. Take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks bye-bye, so man. Much. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody. I hope you enjoyed my interview with Joseph Williams and Steve Lukather from Toto. Don't forget to go buy their brand new albums. Steve Lukather, I Found the Sun Again, and Joseph Williams, Denizen Tenant. Both of these are coming out on February 26th, and they're on vinyl, they're on CD, so go search those out and purchase them. Also, follow us here at Rock Solid Show on Twitter, and go to rocksolidpodcast.com for all things about the show. Now, as a playout song, I really can't choose a song from Joe's album or a song from Steve's album because I can't play favorites. So what I'm going to do is the playout song today is going to be from the last Toto album called Old Is New. It came out in 2019 and the song is called Devil's Tower. So thanks again to Steve and Joe, and here's Devil's Tower.